The ostensible topic of Daf Beis, opening Mishnah, the question of who is Roy Lishchot. Spent a lot of time over the course of Elzman. And Elzman, which is fast coming to a close, tomorrow is the first day of Cheshvan. Before Yom Tov, we had been looking at a Haggadah Ashri as part of the literature, Haggadah Ashri, and here, Parak Aleph Siman Beis, is part of a core part of the discussion about one of the questions of who. Specifically, the question of Shechitas Nashim and that mysterious Sefer, the Hilchos Eretz Yisrael, Eldad Hadani, who had a curious Chumrah to not allow women to Shecht. And today we turn our attention to the other half of that, or that Haggadah Ashri. He goes on after the question of who, talks about the following ancillary question. From a Shechita perspective, it's an ancillary question, but from the perspective of Hilchos Brachos, this is Haggadah Ashri here at the beginning of Chulin is one of the epicenters of the discussion of over Las Yassim. So we got started a little bit yesterday. Gemara and Psachim, Dav Zayin, and Megillah, in many places, tells us the comment of Shmuel, seven words, Kol HaMitzvahs Kulan, Mevarach Alein, over Las Yassim. Every single mitzvah, stress, Kol HaMitzvahs Kulan, stress, every single mitzvah, Mevarach Alein, over Las Yassim. You have to say a bracha in advance of the Asiyah. And as we began to say yesterday, to unpack together yesterday, at the end of the morning, so Shmuel is essentially telling me two dinim. Number one, that there is a notion of Birkas HaMitzvahs, a chiyuv, d'rabbanan, to say Birkas HaMitzvahs. And then the second din he tells me is a detail within Hilchos Birkas HaMitzvahs that has to be over Las Yassam, has to be in advance of the Asiyas HaMitzvah. And again, so yesterday, so many questions, both Kashas and Shilas sort of hit us. In terms of the core din of Birkas HaMitzvahs, so we might wonder, Shaila, why? How come Chazal Masak in Birkas HaMitzvahs? And we might also be bothered by Akasha, how could Shmuel say Kol HaMitzvahs Kulan? It just ain't so. Not every single mitzvah. There are many mitzvahs for which we make brachas. There are also many mitzvahs for which we do not make brachas. A question that Rishon already raised, just as a shayla, what's the rule? Which mitzvahs require brachas? Which mitzvahs don't require brachas? How come we do make a bracha on lulav, but not on tzedakah? We do make a bracha on tefillin, but not on kivud avim. Why? And not only the question of we'd like to understand what are the rules, but it's a kasha. Shmuel said kol mitzvahs kulan. Shmuel sounds like every mitzvah. And then in terms of the question of over las yasan. So they're showing in Pilpul about the word over Las Yassim. It's funny terminology. Say Kodem, say Lefnei, say Terem, over Las Yassim. Now the Gemara explains, it can mean in advance, but it seems like an awkward word to use. And you might wonder, how come Chazal mandated over Las Yassim, or why does it matter? And we saw yesterday the Rabbeinu David raised the question of how come Shmuel is only talking about Birkas HaMitzvahs, how about the other two categories? To which Rabbeinu David answered, well, Birkas HaHoda, actually it's not true. They're not said in advance. Birkas HaHoda, Osam HaSabresh, Shkochim Rosam Oli Olam, that you say in response to. Okay. And on the other hand, food. Well, number one, you have the bracha achrona actually comes afterwards, and that's the main bracha on food. That's sometimes daraisa, birkas hamazon. And in terms of bracha rishon, it's all davar pashin, of course. The Gemara tells me, the beginning of Ketzav Avarchin, that if you say a bracha, then you're not stealing from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So, of course, I have to say the bracha rishon in advance. That's matir me to eat. Okay. And then finally, the question which Rishonim here pick up with, in Chulin, which is, let's say I didn't say over Las Yassam. Halachic Shaila. Okay, I should say over Las Yassam. Let's say I did not. I did the wrong thing. The maze is Beshogig, whatever it is. was too lazy to say the bracha. I forgot to say the bracha. I was distracted. I thought I did say the bracha. Whatever it is. So, just to be clear, the bracha is not ma'akiv, the mitzvah. If I didn't say the bracha, I'm still yotze. There was some discussion about this during the Seder. If I didn't say the bracha, I'm still yotze the core mitzvah. And if I shook lulav without saying the altios lulav, I was still yotze lulav. The mitzvah daris of lulav is still yotze. The question is, I want to rescue the second mitzvah, the mitzvah derabanan of bracha. Can I say the bracha afterwards, or I lost my chance? So the Or Zeruah says, say it afterwards. You should have said it earlier. If you didn't say it earlier, say it afterwards. That's Or Zeruah right here in Chulin, quoted by the Gaos Ashri. He says, ideally over Lasiyasad, but otherwise, nish. Then you open a Rambam. Rambam has 11 Prakim and Hilchas Brachas. It begins with the Mitzvah Daraisa of Birkas HaMazon, because he's always organized things around Mitzvahs. And then he branches out to Brachas Drabanan on food. And then he talks about other types of brachas. Even the very last parak Yud Aleph, he's talking about Birkas HaMitzvahs. And he says in parak Yud Aleph, Halachos Hey and Vav, what's the story? What's the story if you're doing a mitzvah? Ha'ose mitzvah lo beirech. A fellow did a mitzvah, didn't say a bracha. Can he say it afterwards or not? What does Rambam say? What does Rambam say? Can I or can't I? So he rejects the formulation of my question. He says it's not a yes or no answer. You want to know yes or no? The answer is, it depends. He says it depends. In mitzvah shai dain asiyasa kayemes mevaruch achar asiya. If its asiyah still lasts, then I can say it after I've done the action. Dover sha'avar hu enim mevaruch. But if it's done, I can't make a bracha. So sometimes you can, sometimes you can't. What do you mean if the maisa lasts? So he gives an example. Ketzad, what's an example? This, if I put on tzitzis, I put on tefillin, I sit in a sukkah, and I didn't make a bracha at the beginning, and now I realize I'm up to tachanun, I'm up to shir shalyom, I'm still wearing the talis and tefillin, I realize, God, I did make a bracha before. Either I didn't make a bracha before, maybe I couldn't make a bracha before, if it was too early to make a bracha, as the case may be. I did not make a bracha before. So the Rambam says, you already put on the talus. The action you did earlier, but the action still lasts, meaning I'm still wearing the talus. Wearing the talus, the Rambam assumes here, is not an action. It's a state, but it's a state that was created by my action of putting on the talus. As long as I'm still wearing the talus, as long as I'm still wearing the tefillin, as long as I'm still sitting in the sukkah, living in the sukkah, I could still make the bracha. Once I leave, it says, but shochat, our sugya, shochat below bracha, eino chozer achra shchita mevarach hasher, yishomot as a tzana shchita. If he did shchita without a bracha, sorry, now your shchita is done, sorry, it's too late. If you're in the middle of the shchita, you better not stop and say the bracha. We're going to learn very soon that one of the major tzulim of the shchita is pausing in the middle, shchita. So do not stop in the middle of the act of shchita to say bracha. That would ruin your whole shchita. And once you're done with the shchita, he says, now it's too late. It is not like sukkah lulav tzitzis. Now the shchita is done. The animal is shachut. But your body is no longer engaged with the mitzvah. Or he says, another familiar topic for us from the Sefer Chulin, Kisui Adam. In Kisa Hadam below Bracha. You're supposed to say a Bracha the Kisa Adam. You're holding the soil. You say the Bracha, then you pour the soil on. That's what's supposed to happen. Let's say I didn't. I pour the soil and they say, oh, I forgot. I'm so excited. First time in my life I'm doing Kisa Adam. I was so excited. I did the Kisa Adam. I missed the Bracha. Rambam says, nothing doing. You're ready for Machrus Trumas and Isis. You're ready Tovil, as the case may be. Rambam says it's too late. So you were right. But fundamentally, the Rambam holds that if you had to boil it down to a yes or no question, the answer is over last yas of Rambam is Ma'akid. Just he says there are cases where it's not so, but you can still salvage things. If it's a sort of mitzvah that lasts, so it's not fully over lasiyasan just yet. You already did the act of tying on the tefillin, but you're still wearing them. You already did the act of wrapping yourself in talis, but you're still wearing them. Okay. But once the mitzvah is done, then you cannot make the bracha. Over lasiyasa, fundamentally, for the Rambam, is ma'akev. Whereas or Zeruah, as quoted here by the Hagolas Ashi and Sa'ad Rosh, say, no! You should have said the bracha before the shechita, but if you didn't, go ahead and say the bracha after the shechita. Over lasiyasa is ideal, but not critical. It's the full, perfect bracha, Birkas HaMitzvah, is going to be over lasiyasa. But without it, you can still be yotzeh shelo b'shleimus, say the bracha afterwards. This is a major machlokas of Rishon, centered on Chulin Daf Beis. And one might wonder what's driving that machlokas. Why should I say yes or no? Why should I say yes or no? And digging into that may begin to answer some of the other questions that we had about Birkas HaMitzvah also. So the truth is, let's go back to one of those other questions. The Ritva here, let's take a look at this Ritva. There's Ritva Psachim, the end of a long, long piece. In case you're wondering, the Chiddush HaRitzvah quotes himself. He's talking about himself in third person. The answer is it's written by Tamid. The Ritva Psachim was written by Tamid. So Ritva says, or the Tamid HaRitzvah writes in his name, because of our Ritzal, or in the Yom Tov, the Ritva, I think it's the name of Ben Avraham, it's Ritva. The Tam Zeh Sharu Chazal, Levarach HaMitzvah Over Lasiyasa. How come the rabbi said we should make Brahms Over Lasiyasa? Why does it matter? Why does it have to be specific about when? Do it before, during, after? Who cares? Why Chazal mandate Over Lasiyasa? What does Ritva say? What does it say? Kadesh is Kadesh Tchila B'Bracha. To be Mekadesh myself first with the Bracha. I should make it evident that I'm doing this because HaKadosh Baruch Hu said so. It's not just that I enjoy the sound of a shofar. It's not a mere aesthetic pleasure. HaKadosh Baruch Hu told me to blow shofar. The truth is, he's answering a more basic question. Also, he's phrasing this as, how come Chazal won over Lasiyasa? Well, his answer really speaks to the more general question of why there are Birkas HaMitzvahs at all. Who needs a Birkas HaMitzvah? Kadosh Baruch Hu says blow shofar, so blow shofar. Kadosh Baruch Hu says sheglu. Why did Chazal have to add this additional step of saying a bracha? And then specifically, when they added that step, why were they insistent about before as opposed to afterwards? So he's answering both questions by saying, well, what's accomplished? What's added by this verbalizing a bracha instead of merely doing the ma'isa mitzvah? The answer is, right. Sorry about that. I'm articulating what it is, why I'm doing what I'm doing. That's part of it. He said, Yiskadesh tchil bebracha, I'm mekadesh myself with the bracha. I'm making it clear that I'm doing this not just for some other reason, I'm doing it because that's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu expects of me. We'll get to Shem Yichud soon. Good. So the Ritva says, by the way, how do you makarish yourself with a bracha? This is very poetic. But how does this work? How do you makarish yourself with a bracha? What does it mean? Makarish yourself with a bracha. Have you ever been makarish yourself with a bracha? Mm-hmm. What's the Ritva saying? Well, where did he get all this language from? You mekadesh yourself with a bracha, and you make it clear you're doing this because of Tzibur Hashem. Where did he get all this from? A very basic source. Fantastic. Moshe says that is the language. The standard terminology of every bracha, akbu, aleph, kuf, beis, vav. You see it all from the Svarim, as Rosh HaTevis. Asher kedishan v'nasav v'tzivanu. That's standard terminology. Kadosh Baruch Hu, we remind ourselves when we say Racha, we articulate how Kadosh Baruch Hu endowed, gives us opportunity to be endowed with Kedusha through doing mitzvahs. Mitzvahs are an opportunity to fill ourselves with Kedusha. And then specifically, v'tzivanu al nikr megillah, v'tzivanu al antil sedayim, v'tzivanu l'kros al. Kadosh Baruch Hu, mitzvahs are opportunity for Kedusha, and specifically Kadosh Baruch Hu is mitzvah me to do X, what I'm about to do. That's rich for saying. That's what you're saying. You're filling yourself with Kedusha by noticing, talking about what it is that you're doing, and you're saying, this I'm doing this mishum tzivit Hashem. So that answers two questions. That's why we have birkas and mitzvahs, at least part of why we have birkas and mitzvahs, and specifically that's why you have birkas and mitzvahs first. Because you want to already have that kavana in place in advance. Oh. Okay. That's answer number one for both questions. How come birkas and mitzvahs, and how come birkas and mitzvahs first? How come over las yasin? And then he has another, but remember, officially his question was only, how come over las yasin? Now let's look at his second answer. So the ode, ki ha brachos me avodos ha nefesh. Brachos are part of the avoda of the nefesh. The ra'ui l'hakdim avodas ha'nefesh l'masa shehi avodas ha'guf. It makes sense. It's appropriate to sequence things so that first you have the avodas ha'nefesh and then you have the avodas ha'guf. First the bracha, then the ma'isa, because the bracha is avoda of the nefesh and the ma'isa mitzvah, the physical ma'isa mitzvah, holding the lulav, eating in the sukkah, wearing the tzitzis, that's avodas ha'guf. We've seen this term. We've seen this terminology with other names. Avodas ha-nefesh, avodas ha-guf, is that what it's known as? Chovas al-vavas, chovas ha-ivarm. Rabbi Nebuchaya calls it chovas al-vavas, chovas ha-ivarm. Ritva is saying avodas ha-nefesh, avodas ha-guf, but presume they mean the same or very similar concepts, the pnimius and the chitzenius. The work inside of thought and feeling, which is expressed through dibur, through speech, and then the masa avodas ha-shem. So he says, it makes sense that Chovas HaLavavas ought to come first and Chovas HaIvarim should come second. That's along the lines of what we saw in the Ksav Yad of Mesilas Yesharim in the Akdama, where he says, look, the way HaKadosh Baruch Hu has Moshe Rabbeinu phrase those psukim in Akev, right? What does Moshe Hashem consist of? It's broken up in a way that 80% of the list is Chovas HaLavavas, which highlights the significance of Chovas HaLavavas. So the Ritva seems to be saying something similar right here. That the fact that you have bracha first, maisa second, is meant to chazer, reinforce the fact that Chovas HaLavavas are so critical. They get the pride of place, they get to go first. The Chovas HaLavavas are expressed, the thoughts and ideas and the feelings that are supposed to go into mitzvah are given expression in the bracha, and then you actually do the mitzvah. But who gets to go first? We should be mechabed the Chovas HaLavavas, the Avodas HaNefesh, they get to go first. Bracha first, Maisa second. Does this answer the other question? Or not? Maybe, sort of. He is saying that the point of Birkas HaMitzvah is to give expression to the Chovas HaLavavas part of every mitzvah, giving expression to the premius of the mitzvah. But he's really focused on why this first, that second. What's the difference between two tirutzim? They sound pretty similar. And they're both talking about the bracha expresses the inner ideas that drive and motivate the mitzvah, the ma'aseh mitzvah. What's the difference between two tirutzim? Same. This is the ideas. First we discuss the ideas, now we actually do the action. What's the difference between how you learn the mitzvah? How do you learn the mitzvah?
The first
Teres of the Ritva, that both of them are talking about the fact that the bracha expresses the inner ideas of the pnimius and of the ma'aseh mitzvah, but the difference is the second one is just saying like kavod. Kavod, you know,
we ought to give kavod to the chovos halavavos. They're so critical and central, so you always let it go first. Okay. The first terror is saying something more essential. The first terror is actually explaining why the first one, the bracha, needs to be before it's going to accomplish its mission of expressing, explain what I'm doing, because of what it's meant to do. It's meant to explain what you're doing. It's meant to articulate, here's why I'm doing what I'm doing. It makes good sense for its function to go first. First explain what you're doing, and then do it. The second teretz is saying, not that it needs to work that way, just kavod, ra'ui. And since if that's avos ha'nefesh, it's roi lahakdim. It's like you let the kohen go first. We'll give the kohen the first piece of challah, then we'll give someone else the second piece of challah. If you swap them, the challah is still challah, you can still make kamotzi, you can still eat, but kavod. Then take a look at the Rambam. And Dov is also pointing out, we have to figure out what does that have to do, figuring out why over Las Yasa matters ought to give us insight into how much it matters. L'chadchila versus Yer. Let's look at Rambam. Let's look at the other Rambam. There's a Rambam that Rav pointed out in the first paragraph of Hilchos, very, very beginning. We saw Rabbeinu David in Pesachim talks about different categories of brachas. We talked about before. The Rambam already talks about the different categories of brachas. He says in the very beginning of his brachas, mitzvah daraisa, the only mitzvah daraisa, according to the Rambam, the only bracha which is daraisa is birkas hamazon. Mitzvah same in Torah to say birkas hamazon after you eat. He goes on to say the mitzvah daraisa is if you ate bread and you're full. Okay. We drive on and we make brachas acharonos after other foods, other situations, maybe brachas rishonos midrabanan before food. And then Halacha Gimel, he mentions there are two other categories, birkas ha-mitzvahs and birkas shagach v'hodah, which he then wraps up in Halacha Dalet, nimtzu'u, he said, let's review, let's summarize, Halacha Dalet, come back to Gimel in a moment, nimtzu'u, Halacha Dalet, nimtzu'u, kol brachas kulon shlosh shaminim. Hanot birkas hanoya, birkas mitzvahs, birkas hodah. So there are three categories of brachas: birkas hananim, birkas hamitzvah, birkas shach v'hodah. Very good. But here's the key: when he first introduced it, at the end of Halacha Dalet, just give you a list of three items: A, B, C. Shai. But when he introduces the other two categories, and categories two and three initially, so the Rav pointed out there's a very important nuance in the way he says it. He's been talking for the first two halachas, halachas alef and beis dad, birkas hananim. After food, before food, smells, birkas hananim. And then he goes on to say, if you have Rambam in front of you, I'll read slowly. Ukeshem, shem v'racha on hanoya. Just as you say bracha on pleasure, kach, v'racha on kol mitzvah, mitzvah, v'yachakach yaseh. So too, you say a bracha on every mitzvah, and then you should do it. Otherwise, no one has. There's a mitzvah over las yasa. Just as you make a bracha on pleasure, so too you make a bracha on mitzvahs, and then you get to do them. Ooh, brachos rabos titnu chacham derech sheva v'odah. And there are also many brachos on chazal masakein birkas shavach v'odah. Category three. So again, he said, just as Chazal are masakin birkas hananin, so too they're masakin birkas hamitzvahs. Period. And Chazal are masakin a third category called birkas hodah. Notice anything interesting there about the language? How does he introduce birkas hamitzvahs? How does he introduce birkas hodah? He just said, and there's also a third category. How do you introduce the second category of birkas hamitzvahs? Didn't just say, and there's a second category. He said, kishem kach. Just as chazal masakin a bracha on food, or hanah, so too chazal masakin a bracha on mitzvahs. What means so too? What does one do the other? He didn't say, so too chazal masakin birkas shavodah. He said, another category, shavodah. So what's with the kishem kach? Just as you have birkas hanan, and so too you have birkas hamitzvahs. The Rav suggested The Rambam is apparently explaining something important about Birkas HaMitzvos. And this goes back to Rabbeinu David. And David, with which we open, had pointed us to the Gemara at the very beginning of Ketz Mevarchim, the very beginning of the sixth parak of Maseches Brachos, the bottom of the first Amaral. The Gemara says, what's the idea behind Birkas HaMitzvos, specifically Brachos Rishonos? The Gemara says that it's really, it's Miyashiv Estirib Sukkim Mikfil. Whose is the world? Who's in charge? On the one hand, Pasuk says, "Hashem Marot Tamalova." The entire universe, everything fills it. It's all Hashem's brachos. On the other hand, Hashemayim Shemayim LaHashem. The Aretz Nasan Bnei Adam. Kadosh Baruch Hu holds on to the Shemayim, but the earth He gave to people. It was also Kadosh Baruch Hu's. The Nasan Bnei Adam, Kadosh Baruch Hu gave it to human beings. So which one is it? Is it Nasan Bnei Adam or is it still Hashem Aretz Tamalova? A stira. Apparently, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will sometimes give it to us. So what drives that getting, when does HaKadosh Baruch Hu authorize us to enjoy the world? The Gemara says, Kan kodem bracha, kan la'acha bracha. Before he said a bracha, Hashem aratz meloah. So enjoy the world without, that's what the Gemara says, to enjoy the world without saying a bracha first, ki'ilu mal, you're stealing from, it's theft from God. You're taking that which isn't yours. You go into someone else's knapsack and take his snack, take his lunch, that's gezel. To go into your own knapsack and take your lunch is also gezel. Not from my friend, from a Kadosh Baruch Hu. Just because it's in your knapsack, it's still a Kadosh Baruch Hu. If you say a bracha, then he's willing to authorize you to use it. You get license, we're talking more about licenses. You get license, Kadosh Baruch Hu will give you license. Kadosh will give you a heter to enjoy the world once you've said a bracha. But before the bracha, Hashem aravat simloah. In other words, a bracha, which birkas hananin, is a matir. It's a matir, would otherwise be gezel. Says the Rav, what the Rambam driving at? Kishem that you say a birkas hananin, kach you say a birkas hamitzvah. So Rav said it means apparently the Rambam is saying something which is intriguing. I think something we touched on a little bit, but now we're seeing it before Yom Tov. Now we're seeing it fully in context. That he says apparently the Rambam is trying to tell me that birkas hamitzvahs are also matirim. Birkas Shavua does not matter anything. It's a response to an event, a response to an encounter. But Birkas HaMitzvah works like a Birkas HaNenin, meaning, just like a Birkas HaNenin is a matir, it allows me to enjoy the world in a way that I wasn't allowed to until. Up until I said the bracha, it was Hashem Aretz Meloah, and now Aretz Nasan Le'Adam. The Rambam says, Kishem the Birkas HaNenin, Kach, so too, you have Birkas HaMitzvahs. Meaning, just like this one is a matir, so too, this one is a matir. Matir what? What does it mean? That says words. He's throwing lundish terminology in. This is also, why matir? I understand, I'm not allowed to eat without saying a bracha. The Gemara explains, it's not just a didra, it's not just because Chazal made it become a bracha, it's because it's not right. You're stealing from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. How am I stealing from HaKadosh Baruch Hu by doing mitzvah without a bracha? The Rav says, you're making me do the mitzvah. I'm obligated to the mitzvah. That's what mitzvah means. God commanded me. I have to get permission to do what I'm commanded to do. I'm commanded to do it. The Rav said, there is a fascinating paradox here, which is that at the same time that a mitzvah is an obligation that's imposed upon me, at the same time, it's also a radical privilege to be the American ambassador. To be the American ambassador to China is a big job. Be the American ambassador to Denmark is a big job. But it's a very serious, if that's put upon me, that's serious work. At the same time, I don't have the right to just say, walk into embassy and say, I'm here, I decided I'm the ambassador. No. You can't self-appoint to be the American ambassador. You have to be appointed. You have to get reshus to do that job. It's a big cover. It's a major job, and it's a big cover. You think you're just going to do mitzvahs? You're going to be a mortal man? Finite man is going to be Ove, the infinite creator? it's a radical chutzpah. I can do mitzvahs. I can work for Kadosh Baruch Hu. So at the same time that it's something that it's expected of me, and I must keep mitzvahs, I also have to understand it's an obligation, it's also a radical privilege. So much so that I have to ask for permission first. May I worship you? That's what the Rav suggests. If you read the Rambam, that's what a Birkas HaMitzvah is. It's matir, it's asking for license to be over the Hashem. Asking for license to do what I'm expected to do. It's at the same time, again, just to be clear, it doesn't mean that I have the right to choose opt out of mitzvahs. I am obligated to keep mitzvahs. I just won't say the bracha, I won't do the mitzvahs, okay. No, it's not okay. I am mechuyav to do mitzvahs. At the same time, I'm mechuyav to do the mitzvah, it's also something for which I need to ask permission first. To be miskarev, to walk into the palace. I have to ask permission to walk into the palace. That's a suggestion the Rav made in this Rambam. Now, I would say, I think Rav Shechter has along these lines, you could take a step further and point out that there's lahara machlokas between the Rambam and the Ritva. Because the Ritva is speaking, both approaches of the Ritva speak to the bracha as highlighting the inner significance of the mitzvah. Right? Either, and you're going to do that so that you'll have those ideas, and ideally have those ideas in mind in conjunction with doing the mitzvah, or just to, you want to be, okay, and the Ovel Asiyasan flows from that. For the Rambam, there's a different approach to why, to what the bracha is. It's not so much articulating the inner significance of the mitzvah, it's asking for permission to do the mitzvah. And specifically, the reason why the bracha comes first is because I need to get the permission before I can do it. So now, one second. Is there a point to saying the bracha once it's no longer beforehand? Then for the Ritva, Lechara, yes. Maybe ideally I should, certainly the second approach to Ritva, that is to say the bracha first to show kavod to Chavos HaLevavos. Okay, but either way, you got to express the meaningfulness of the mitzvah. But for the Rambam, the purpose of the bracha, those who need to leave should go to an event, should not feel uncomfortable. For the Rambam, the purpose of the bracha is to be matir. For the Rambam, it makes about as much sense to say a Birkas HaMitzvah after doing the mitzvah as saying a Bar Pri HaEitz after you're done with your fruit. If you're still in the middle, you already ate some of the fruit, but some of the fruit is still to come. Okay, so say a HaEitz and what's left. I'm going to say a Bar Pri HaEitz after I'm done with the fruit. The goal of the HaEitz was to ask for permission to eat. It's too late. Now you can ask for forgiveness. You can no longer ask for permission. You already did it. Same kishem. Kach. Birkas HaMitzvah is matir me to do the mitzvah. You already did the mitzvah. So you did what you're supposed to do. You did the mitzvah. There was a little bit of chutzpah. You just ran into the king's royal palace to be obeyed without asking permission. Okay, but now it's too late to ask for permission. You already left the palace. You're done with the mitzvah. What are you being matir? For the Rambam's approach to Ovel HaSiyasan, you say the bracha first because the bracha is matir you to do the mitzvah. So once the mitzvah is done, there's no point in making the bracha. Ovel HaSiyasan is ma'akev. And that's Rambam l'shitaso. The Rambam in Perek Yud Aleph, who said Ovel HaSiyasan is ma'akev, is consistent with the Rambam in Perek Aleph, explaining why you make brachas, birkas and mitzvahs, and why they're Ovel HaSiyasan, because it's a matir. Whereas, Agos Ashri, according to Ozarua says, Ovel HaSiyasan is ideal, but it's not... But it's not absolutely critical. That's in line with the Ritva. That the role of Birkas HaMitzvahs is to give expression to the ideas of the mitzvah, and to highlight the pnimius of the mitzvah. So then it makes more sense. It'll be more meaningful if you do that beforehand, but it still is meaningful to express the pnimius of the mitzvah right after the mitzvah as well. An hour later might be too late. That's true. But it's also true that an hour earlier is too early. As a matter of fact, that's how the Rishonim explained what the other question we had before. Why over, as opposed to such an awkward way to say before? Why don't you use a more typical term, like kodem, or lefnei, or terem? What's with the over? So Rishonim, Ritva Meiri and others explain that the over
All those other words mean before. Over means specifically right before. Over lefnehem. He was walking right in front of them. If you would have said you have to make the bracha kodem asiyaso, that would mean it could be 5 seconds before, it could be 5 minutes before, it could maybe be 5 hours before. But over means right before. That's why the posting right lahalacha, that one is supposed to say a birkas hamitzvah immediately before the maisa mitzvah, after all the preliminary steps are done. This is actually very, very relevant to halacha maisa, because most people struggle with this in the following way. Like you're unwrapping your tefillin, and like as you're slipping on your arm, you're ready to say Baruch Atah Hashem Lekein Melech Olam. And as you're halfway through the bracha, by the time the bias lands on your arm, and then off on the other end, you're ready to start tightening it before you finish the bracha. Right? So that's a problem in both senses. The entire bracha, even according to the Arzarua, you're supposed to say the bracha over Las Yasa. That means number one, the entire bracha needs to be said before you begin the Maisa Mitzvah. Don't tighten until after you say L'haniach Tefillin. Now tighten. Don't turn over the Esrig and hold it properly until after you say all the words, Al Natiyas Ulam, and now turn it over. And then on the other end, don't even start Baruch Atah Hashem until after you're fully ready to do the mitzvah. The talis is already spread out behind you, you're ready to go, and now you begin to say, Baruch Atah Hashem Lekei Melech Olam, all the way, Lezatif B'tzitzis, and then you wrap yourself in the tzitzis. You unwrap the tefillin, you put it on your arm on location, the Maisa Mitzvah upon which we say the bracha is the Hiduk, the tightening, so it's in place, loose, you're ready, in position, and then you start Baruch Atah Hashem all the way until L'haniach Tefillin, and then you tighten. To begin to say the bracha while you're still moving the tefillin into place, so that's a violation of Over Las Yasa, because that's too early. Over Las Yasa means before, but not far in advance. Over Las Yasa means dafka, and that's what Shom say. That's why Kodem, Lifne, Terem wouldn't capture that. But Over captures that sense of right before, which, and again, That also fits with these explanations, and it explains, again, for the Or Zeruah, you can say the bracha, if need be, right afterwards, but not 10 minutes later. You also can't say the bracha 10 minutes before the mitzvah. That's way too far out. That's way too far out. Why? Because, again, as Ritva said, the point is you're injecting the machshava of the mitzvah into the ma'aseh mitzvah. So ideally you would do that beforehand. So number one, so that you have it in mind when you do the mitzvah. Number two, to give kavod to chovos halavos. But it'll still be meaningful, although not ideal, if you do it afterwards. And finally, the Noda B'Yehuda. And B'Yehuda was asked in 1776 about this new minute. Either talking about the early Hasidim of the Baal Shem Tov, or he's talking about the Talmidim of the Shla, who had introduced one of the major chidushim, which was very controversial at the time, perhaps still controversial, was the popularization of Kabbalah, to bring Kabbalah to the masses. Kabbalah traditionally had been based in Mishnah and Chagiga only for Yechidei Skula, and part of the chidush of the Baal Shem Tov was now is the time that everyone should be learning Kabbalah, we should popularize Kabbalah. So they asked, someone asked Nag Yehuda. Recently, they've been publishing Sidurim with Kabbalistic things to say before you do the mitzvah. L'shem yichud kutshibrich v'shchinte. You're doing the mitzvah in order to miyached HaKadosh Baruch Hu, whatever that means. So he says, fellow Esther, no, you're the Shaila. How do I, you're supposed to word it like this, you word it like that. You say the letters of Hashem's Yud Kei Vav Kei or not. How exactly, what's the proper wording for L'shem yichud? So he goes on to say, he says he doesn't think it's right at all that Kabbalah should be popularized. You know, everyone's supposed to keep Tariq Mitzvahs and learn Bavli, learn Yerushalmi. Kabbalah is for Yechidei school, unusual Balamidos, unusual Tzadikim. It's not for everyone. And he says, even if you are being Mechav and Kabbalist to Kavanah's paragraph 2, he says he doesn't think it's necessary to verbalize it. Then he says in paragraph 3, you tell me, you want to say L'shem Yichud, so you have a kesher amitz, a powerful connection to Machshava, Dibur, and Maisa. says that is absolutely an authentic Jewish concept. We already have something in place to do that. We call that Birkas HaMitzvahs. That's the role of the Birkas HaMitzvah. And that's Mamish, that's a chavrus of mine, right, Brian Gopin, points out that's exactly what the Ritzvah says. And it's fascinating. Now, sometimes people read the Nag Bihuda as being anti-Kabbalah, not anti-Kabbalah, but anti-Machshava, Pnimius, just very cold and dry, and it's clearly not the case. In the last paragraph, he says, by the way, in terms of your technical question, here's how people I've spent time with who are holding, here's how they say it. That's a reference to the fact that for 13 years of his life, when he was 18 till he was 31, he was learning the Klois in Brat. The Klois was a small base medrash for advanced Tamei Chachamim who learned both Kabbalah, Nigla and Nistar, Gemara, Halacha, and Kabbalah. He was not, spent 13 years of his life there. That's what he's subtly referencing in the last paragraph. He was not far, Kabbalah was not foreign to him. And he goes on to say in the third paragraph, he says, you'll tell me there are many mitzvahs that you don't say brachas on. He says, my personal minig is I'll say, I'm about to give tzedakah, do keep it out of aim, and so on and so forth, a mitzvah without a bracha, I'll say, hinni osa davazel l'shem mitzvahs bori. He was certainly a man who was very attuned, as he says, the keshar mitzvah machshava dibur and maisa. He just wanted to do it in the most authentic, correct way, and to appreciate the dinim and the mitzvahs that we have. Again, giving expression to this approach to the ritva, which may motivate the shita of the Arz.